What is up, everybody? Welcome back to this special episode on University of Adversity. I decided to post my guest appearance from the Next Day Nomad podcast with my man, Jared. This was fun. Not only did we unpack my story, but also all the good, the bad, the ugly with the nomad lifestyle. We talked about a lot of it, and if any of you guys want to kind of see behind the curtain of what it's like as a nomad, this is a cool episode. Sometimes I forget how much we can learn from traveling, and we kind of unpack all of that. And traveling and being a nomad has really been life-changing for me. And, you know, traveling and living abroad has been a big part of my lifestyle since, you know, the first time I sold everything and moved to Australia in 2012. So we get into all of that, and I really like this conversation. I think it's a nice change from me doing interviews and solo episodes, and you guys get to drop in and hear our conversation about all the things. So make sure you guys go follow and subscribe to the Next Day Nomad podcast. And my man's name is Jared Evanishin. Hope I said that right. Great guy. We were connected recently through my good friend Dustin, who I've traveled with a lot. And yeah, he's a technical recruiter and a digital nomad coach. So he helps people with the transition into the nomad life and kind of, you know, with this podcast, giving people some good insight into what that life's all about. So hope you guys enjoy. As always, I appreciate all of you. And yeah, hope you enjoy this special episode.
Alright, amigos, welcome to today's episode of the Next Day Nomad podcast. I'm your host, Jared Evanishin, a digital nomad coach and technical recruiter currently living life in the Dominican Republic. I know firsthand what the struggles are to pursue your passion for being a digital nomad. And the number one problem most people have is they have the wrong mindset. And in each episode, we'll explore what that mindset shift looks like. We will also dive into different aspects of the digital nomad lifestyle, from finding remote jobs, starting an online business, and we will engage in conversations with other digital nomads and expats from around the world. So if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button so you don't miss another episode. So let's stop daydreaming about becoming a digital nomad, and let's grab that boarding pass and buckle up, because it's time to get ready for a life-changing journey towards freedom and adventure. Let's go. Be brave enough to live the life of your dreams according to your vision and purpose instead of expectations and opinions of others. That's Roy T. Bennett. He's the author of The Light in the Heart. Now, I love this because this is your life. It's not anybody else's. You're in the driver's seat, so be brave, be bold, and be ready to face life's adversity. Welcome back to another episode of the Next Day Nomad podcast. I'm your host, Jared Evanishin. Now, today I'm really excited for today's interview because this may sound weird to some of you, but I absolutely love adversity. And I know people try to avoid this at all costs and they want to live in the slow lane. But for me, I take those challenges and I think it's such a cool thing to do, because when you come onto the other side and you go through the storm, it's what shapes you into who you are. And that is exactly what I've done. And it is because of who I am today, I can thank the adversity that I've gone through. Now, I also think that all the greats in the world have gone through adversity that maybe you and I can never imagine. And whatever it is, they've all faced adversity at some point. So today, I got a really, really special guest. His name is Lance Isios. He's a holistic and performance coach. He comes from Edmonton, Alberta, Victoria, BC, Vancouver. He's kind of been all over the place. He's a traveler and digital nomad. He's the host of the University of Adversity podcast, which is a top 50 podcast. He's also a best-selling author of the Mastering Adversity, Unlock the Warrior Within. He's been a digital nomad and traveler and expat since 2017, but mainly traveling consistently since the pandemic. So Lance, yeah, welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you're here, and I'm excited that you're on the Next Day Nomad podcast, and I'm excited to kind of go through more of your journey. And obviously the theme of what you do with adversity. I think it's a really, really positive thing for our listeners. So maybe just tell us a little bit about the stuff that you're working on and give us a little, I guess, introduction to a little bit more in depth of who you are.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. And yeah, like you kind of talked about in the intro about the importance of adversity and shaping who we are. I sort of just fell into this kind of conversation about adversity. I'd gone through a lot in my own life, as we all do. But, you know, there's certain periods of my life where I started to realize that this is so important for, you know, the human, you know, all of us as humans to go through things and look at them from an empowered perspective and allow them to help us, you know, shape who we are. And, you know, for me, I had quite a bit of loss in my family when I, in a period of time where I was in a pretty dark hole. I lost my younger brother to suicide and my dad to cancer within like a year and a half. And in that time, I was going through my own personal struggles with booze, drugs. I was living pretty crazy, reckless life in Australia. And I started to realize that I needed to make a change. And when I started to make changes, I started to realize that, wow, this word adversity is really, really important, because if I can understand the lesson in it, then I can use it and become stronger, more resilient, and just a more well-rounded human and more prepared for life when it hits. So, you know, from there, I sort of just went down this path. I've been really passionate about personal growth and transformation, spiritual growth, you know, mind, body, spirit optimization, and just sort of figuring out my own way, my own unique way of what am I good at? How can I show up in the world? What do I suck at? And like figuring out how to communicate that to the world the best that I can. And it's been a great process. It's not always easy, but you know, it's been something that has completely changed my life. And as doing the podcast and writing the book and traveling and, you know, owning a media company as well. And there's a lot of moving pieces to all of this. It's been great. And I believe that it's all been because of the lessons in adversity. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun so far.
And I think that's, you made some good points. And I think, like everybody goes through adversity, whether you like it or not. It's like the same thing with manifestation. It's what you either manifest negative or you manifest positive. It's you don't have a choice. Well, you don't have a choice whether you are manifesting or not. You don't have a choice whether you go through adversity or not. It's always going to be there. It's the choice is how you go through it and how you take that on and how you practice what you go through. And I think life is never always easy. There's going to be adversity with everything. At some point, you know, life finishes for us. We go through loss, we go through grief. But I think like finding ways to tackle it, like kind of face to face. I think you come out of it on the other side. And that's why I love adversity. I think you played hockey. I played hockey. We played sports at a high level. And I think even just having that, going through those moments, it's not maybe a life type of adversity, but you still go through it. You're in the moment. It's intense. But I think that's what kind of maybe shaped me to be able to attack those adversity methods and just not really let things bother me. So I think that it's a pretty great thing that you're doing, because some people just don't have the courage to go through it and maybe tackle it face to face. But I think the techniques and you bringing that to people is a really cool resource. And I guess one of the things when you were making that decision to make a change for yourself and realize that you were going through it and you needed to go through it, like what made you, when was the time that you like started the podcast and like really start to think, hey, you know what? Like, I think everybody else should be able to go through these and have the resources and I can help people.
Yeah. Well, I always knew that I wanted to do something to serve others. Like I wanted to do something big. I just didn't know what that was. And I thought at first it was working in the bar and restaurant industry. I love that because I was good at it and I was loved connecting with people and just building those relationships. But as I started to get older, I realized that this isn't sustainable. This isn't healthy. But then I realized I still wanted to make a big impact in the world. So I just knew that where I was at with the current habits, the current mindset, and the behaviors that I was showing, I wasn't going to make any changes. So I always say, you know, people ask me, when was that pivotal moment? For me, it was right at the end of 2016. I decided to quit drinking for an entire year. And that decision opened up so much awareness to the world that I didn't understand before. And by going sober, I was able to start building on the foundation versus digging myself out of a constant hole all the time. And I started to realize that, wow, like I'm not knocking myself off all the time. Like I would get up and then I'd knock myself down. I'd get up and I started to just build. I'd learn and I replaced those habits with other things. I started to really get into meditation and gratitude and this more of a spiritual aspect of doing things that I thought was kind of silly before. But once I started to do them, as well as physical fitness, as well as nutrition and reading, I just started to think different. I started to look at life from a different lens of optimism versus pessimism. And I realized that there was a lot of opportunity. And I started to listen and follow and read things about people that inspired me. And I just, it opened up my awareness. So then obviously by the end of my year of sobriety, my brain was thinking differently. I rewired things. I wasn't, the priorities that I had weren't priorities anymore. Like I didn't want to serve people poison and alcohol anymore. Not to say that's a bad thing to do. I loved it and it served me in so many ways, but I just knew that it wasn't aligned with who I wanted to be, but I still loved the personal aspect of it. So I decided to figure out, because of listening to a lot of podcasts and because my life changed a lot when I started listening to like Joe Rogan and I remember Bulletproof Radio and Lewis Howes and Tom Bilyeu all back in the day, like years and years and years ago, I was like, well, what if I started one? You know, like, what if I started a podcast about inspiration? What about people and talking to people and talking about things that I got excited about that helped me? Like, what if I did that? And that's kind of what happened, man. We launched the episode December 2018, right at the end of the year. And it was just one of these things that I knew I had to do. It was all I had at the time, like as far as a brand, I had no brand, nothing. I was just like, okay, this thing, I'm going to do it. And people were like, oh, it's so hard. There's so many. Even people were saying there was so many back then. And I was like, I don't give a shit what anybody's saying. I'm just going to do the thing because I knew it so strongly that I wasn't attached to how many listeners or this or that. I was just like, I'm going to do it because I want to do it. And I think from that place, things just kind of opened up. I started having like meaningful conversations, no agenda. And I connected with people and I started to get feedback and get sent awesome people. And, you know, it just became this thing like, oh, this, I'm going to introduce you to this person and that person and this. And then, you know, it's this relationship building. When you go deep with somebody, as you probably see, like, there's something about a conversation, right? It's like, oh man, this guy's awesome or this chick's awesome. And you're just like, you know, and there's an energy that's created there. And then you become that frequency. I was talking to high level people. So I had to like become high level, even though I didn't feel like I belonged in the conversation. I was like, why the fuck is this person talking to me? Like, how am I? So I had to like put, but I knew I belonged at the table. It was just a matter of like showing up. Mm-hmm. And as I started to do it over and over again, I was like, wait a minute, I'm becoming that person now. I'm like, that's crazy. And I did it over and over and over again. It just sort of evolved into the thing that it is today. And there's been lots of ups and downs, but that growth in itself was something that I never saw would happen. I was like, oh, I'm starting a podcast. But what people don't realize is that you're doing a lot more than that. There's a lot happening there. Mm-hmm. And from there, I just sort of like, yeah, man, I've been passionate about transformation. Like, why do some people change and why people don't? Like, what is the thing? Why do people get stuck? Why do some people have positive mindsets, some people negative? And I've gone deep into it, man. I've gone down rabbit holes into plant medicine, into, you know, deep breath work, meditation, Tony Robbins, Dr. Joe Dispenza, like all these different things. And it's just kind of helped me realize the broad spectrum of transformation and how certain things work for certain people and how certain things don't, and how it's important that when you know, the delivery of the message has to land with people a certain way or they won't change, you know, they won't get inspired to change. So that whole thing has been really, really interesting for me, man, which led to the book and all of that. So yeah, there's a lot there. And, it's kind of interesting just to reflect on that in the past, you know, because so much has happened. I feel like a different person at the same time, you know? So
it's inspiring to hear that, because I look at life in a very similar lens, because when you mentioned that, like how people, they don't see the positivity. Some people are more negative. I have a twin brother, and he's the exact opposite of me. And he's gone through life as a victim. Like, as far as I can remember, he's always thought that, like, why does this always happen to me? And he's never thought of life as in a positive light. And like, granted, like, negative things have happened to him, but it's so true that I noticed that if you have negative thoughts and if you have negative affirmations, that's what you're going to attract. And I've always visioned myself as somebody who deserves the best. And it's very selfish of me, but it's my life, and I know that I deserve the best. And that's why when I made the decision to move to Vancouver to pursue acting, I'm like, I deserve this. Like, why does Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, George Clooney, why do they deserve it? Why don't I deserve that? Sure, maybe I never became them and I made a decision to shift out of that, but it is a mindset. And I think that, like, that was part of my adversity, is that I've always believed that, look, if you want something, you just have to, like, you just have to envision it. And you're right. Like, you're not just starting a podcast. It's doing more than that. It's literally shaping your whole life in front of you. And all of a sudden, I mean, I've followed that. Like, you interviewed two really influential people in the self-help space, like Grant Cardone and Dean from Tony Robbins. Like, those are two people that I think are so iconic that you deserve to be at that table, because why wouldn't you? I believe it's like, everybody deserves what they aspire. And if they don't, then maybe they need to shift focus and look themselves in the mirror and be like, you know what, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, maybe I need to shift. Maybe I need to do that. And I think that's something that I think really, really kind of, I've stood true with that. Hey, you know what? Like, if you deserve it, go for it. If you envision it, go for it. Cause it'll happen if you put the work.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like if the thing that you don't like, if the thing that you want to happen doesn't, but you're still pursuing the idea of it and you're doing the stuff, something good will come out of it. Like, it's not like,
100%.
You know, sometimes you have to show up to do one thing, you know, and like you said, you know, you go for a goal, but then it may be the reason you were pursuing that was to take you in a different direction. But if you wouldn't have gone all in and pursued that, then that wouldn't even have been an option. So it's, and life is funny like that, man. And as you see, it's like, if you, as you said, man, like, if you don't believe that you're worthy of it, then how can you expect other people to? That's a thing that I've had to ask myself.
Exactly. Like,
you know, and a lot of these high profile people, man, they're just humans at the end of the day. it's as soon as you can take people off their pedestal and just be like, this person's got something. They're struggling with something too. It's just a matter of like stripping it down a bit. And as soon as you can have that human to human level, it's like, okay, now the good stuff's going to come, because there's not this like weird energy dynamic there. It's like, oh, you can feel it when you connect with somebody, even of like a Grant Cardone or Dean style. It's like, oh yeah, okay, I got them in the right place, because when you show up to a conversation or anything like that, like they can feel if you're not, you don't feel like you belong there. Like they can, and that's where the conversation becomes so awkward, or just anything in general. Like if you want to do something, and acting is a good example of that too. It's like, if you don't show that confidence that you believe in it, then how do you expect anybody else to show you that? Right?
100%.
But coming from a good place too.
100%.
I think it's there's a way of doing it from like, I think some people, you can see faked confidence. Like you can see it as like, okay. Or you can see it from like, this person actually fully believes in themselves, you know? Like, I feel like there's, you can really, and I think everybody has it within them to get there. But it can be tough. It can be tough sometimes, right? Especially.
Absolutely. It's so tough. And I think I like to call that, you know, when people have fake confidence, you see it a lot, especially, you know, in the cities. I call it peacocking. It's like, you know, you just see the person who's just really loud and they're just wearing, and good for them for the confidence, whether it's fake. And I always said, fake it till you make it, and just do it until it feels normal. But you do notice it a lot. And I've always been the person that's like to be the quietest person in the room and observe and just like, you know, see what's going on. And I think that you kind of learn a lot about people and reading people and just seeing, like, you know, it's a good tool to have. So, but I mean, what would you say has been the most difficult part of growing your platform?
Well, you know, having a business, you know, being an entrepreneur in itself is like probably the most challenging personal growth journey that I've ever had, because there's so many moving pieces. And, you know, when you get into this stuff, you think, oh, well, I read the 4-hour work week, or I heard that you can just push a button and automate everything. And like, it's not like that. And what happens is you tend to want to take the easy road from the get-go, because you think that, oh, it's supposed to be easier, but it's not true. And then what I realized was that avoiding the necessary fundamentals of the work that is essential for not only your business growth, but personal growth. It's a spiritual practice in itself, being an entrepreneur, because you go through everything. It shines a light on all your weaknesses, all the things that you want to hide from, you got to look at. And for me, it was, I didn't have business school. I had a passion, and what I signed up for, I didn't realize I was getting into. And then it's evolved, and then one thing leads to another. And it's really, I have found that the most difficult part of all of it is just, I mean, it depends on what aspect, but I would say like the most important would be really showing up with the best energy possible all the time, and realizing that, I'll speak for myself, that how I show up, whether I have a team or I don't, with people is very important. And if I'm not showing up for myself, then how can I expect the universe to show up for me? If I'm cutting corners for myself first, then how can I expect other people to not cut corners? You know what I'm saying? So it was this weird thing, as like, because I used to have a lot of bosses that would say one thing to me and then not do it. And then I, you know, I started to think that was okay. But as I started to learn and grow as an entrepreneur, you know, podcast author, having, you know, a podcast company, I started to realize that it's all about managing people, and it's about managing your energy, and it's about how you show up for yourself is what you can expect other people. And if you aren't showing up the highest level standards for yourself, then it's hard to ask other people to do that. Right. So there were so many different highs and lows over the last 5-6 years that has been such invaluable lessons that I could not have learned in university. I could not have learned from anybody, but just going in, being in the arena, getting in the field, getting dirty, fucking up, losing money, making money, meeting people, traveling, like all the things, speaking on stages, like all these things, man, writing a book, like it's all forces you to look at yourself, right? And feel into all these things. And that itself, man, just the journey, it's hard to say that there's one thing, but I feel like as you evolve, the greater that you become, the greater the challenges become too. And what was hard for me at one point is easy now, right? And I've really kind of broke it down, and now I realize that it's my habits. It's like, what time am I getting up? Am I doing the things now every day that I know is going to set me up to feel good for the day so that I can put out the best energy possible? And that is really important for me in doing anything now. And I didn't really value it as much before, but I've noticed the importance of it a lot more, and it's become something that is part of my identity now. And yeah, and it's going to continue. There's going to be continual evolutions, you know. I mean, I'd love to ask you the same. Like, what has been that for you? Like, what has been the challenge as far as like coming into kind of different territory and doing things that you're not used to doing? And like, how has that been for you?
You know what? For me, I think I'm always looking for a new challenge. I did the unconventional thing. I was in sales. I was back in Manitoba. I ended up quitting that, ended up going into like retail, and I was working in retail, like management, district management, but I was never fulfilled. And I'm like, well, what do I want to do? And I quit everything and moved out to Vancouver to become an actor at 30, and not having experience, going into the unknown, the abyss, that I don't know what life is going to be like. All I know is that I need to self-fulfill that and for myself. And I was able to book some pretty decent parts, some roles. I can check it off the list. So, but then throughout the pandemic, obviously, to kind of, you know, I realized that that wasn't my calling anymore. I kind of woke up to that, you know, I wanted something more. And I wanted to be free. I wanted to be location independent. And I think as an actor, you're not, because you, and especially in Canada, because it's not like we can just go down to the States and do auditions, and you have to really, really work so hard. And I wanted to be in a position where I was in full control, because as an actor, you throw so much shit against the wall and you just hope something sticks and you don't know what it's going to be. But I wanted some substance. And so that's when I got into the recruitment space, because I was like, I started seeing during the pandemic that people were out there living their best life. And meanwhile, like, I'm wearing a mask to go eat outside in the freezing rain at a restaurant. And I thought to myself, like, this isn't the way to live life. No. And that's when I made that decision. I'm going to start focusing on getting skills that I can use to become location independent. And my wife and I, we sat down and we reevaluated everything. And she had just finished a 10-episode gig on season 4 of Snowpiercer. And she was willing to give that up as well, because we both wanted that freedom lifestyle. And so now here I am, fast forward, I'm doing the podcast. I'm in the middle of launching a coaching business as well. And I think that for me, like, the challenges is it's completely out of my comfort zone. I mean, talking on a mic, sure, like, I can use my acting experience, but I had to learn how to do this. And I think when you learn something new, and you mentioned this too, that when you start something, you don't realize what skills you're learning. Like, you launched a book, like, you probably learned so much about marketing. You learned so much about like promotion, like, and just all these different things that maybe of running a business that you never really thought that goes into it. And I'm doing the exact same thing, and I'm I'm thriving at the thought that where my life is going to be 5 years from now is, it excites me, because I was that person in Vancouver that would have the screensaver on my phone, the background that said, someone out there is working harder than you. So every decision I made in a day was, okay, does this benefit me tomorrow? Does it benefit me next week? And I would make those decisions based off that. And I was, and yeah, I went through a little bit of burnout because all I did was work. And I mean, sure. And I grinded, I hustled, but it has shaped me to who I am today. I've gone through the hardships. I've gone through the rejection of being so close to booking a really important part that could be life-changing for an acting career. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get it. I've been cut from hockey teams. There's so much rejection that I've just like, I've looked at life head on and adversity head on, and I've never let it defeat me. I can give myself the pity party for like 30 minutes and it's like, hey, wake the fuck up. Let's go to work and let's figure things out. And I think that was my biggest, that's my, one of my biggest skill sets, is I can shake things off pretty quick. And so I think that's the challenge. And so I'm excited about like where life is going and where, you know, the life that my wife and I are building and in this online digital space. And I've got so much more to give with the recruitment space. And, you know, so there's just so much to learn. And I think when you go into things with an open mind, that it sounds so cliche, but the world really is your oyster, and you can decide, and you can take those challenges and you can like let it keep you down, or you can rise above it and just, you know, become something greater and set yourself up for success. And you don't know what that success is, but hey, you know what? I went to Vancouver to be an actor 7 years ago, 8 years ago, and now I'm doing something completely different. But if I didn't make that decision to go to Vancouver, I wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah. So much truth there, bro. So much truth there.
It's wild. Life's a crazy, it's a journey, man. It's such a crazy journey. And I think we everybody's journey is different. And you know what? It's easy to judge people for what they're going, what they show on the surface, but you never really know what they're going on, what's going on 100%. Behind the scenes. But everyone's got the ability. I look at life. I look at like the Grant Cardones, the Elon Musks, the Bill Gates, and they live this elite lifestyle. And I'm like, fuck, man, I deserve that. Why don't we? Why everybody deserves that? My neighbor deserves that. My worst enemy deserves that, because life is a gift. And why shouldn't anybody have that gift to live that type of life? It's not just
you have to be open to it. Yeah, I agree, man. And like, that's the thing, is there's so much room above the clouds. Like there's so many people living in the clouds, you know? And then, you know, when you fly, you take off on an airplane and you're going through the turbulence, and then all of a sudden you get out of it and you're like, oh, everything's good up here. Oh, okay. You fly above the clouds. It's like there's so much room up there, but so many people play in that like turbulence.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you have to, you like, I chose the same thing, man. Like, choose optimism, man. Choose opportunity. Choose, you know, potential. There's so much out there now. We have access to so much stuff. And why limit yourself? Like, why not just think big? Why not? I mean, even if it is cliche, it's true. I lived in that small mindset for so long too, when I was younger, that, oh, there's even in hockey, like, oh, that guy's better, or worrying about what everybody else is doing and how they're taking my spot or my thing. And really, well, who cares? Just worry about yourself. Are you doing the best you can every day? Like, are you doing the things you know you need to do? No. Well, then focus on that first. Like, but so many people worry about what everybody else is doing. And yeah, man, it's so important to just be open to things. And I've learned, and there's a quote that I love. It's like, I forget who said it, but it's like, be open to everything, but attached to nothing. You know?
I love that.
You
know,
because you got so being open to all possibilities, potentials, things, people, synchronicities, but don't get attached to them, because that attachment if it doesn't work out, it's going to lead you to thinking that you failed or that it could bring this suffering, when really it didn't work out because it's setting you up for something better down the road, right? So you have to see these setbacks, the adversity, as like, oh, okay, thanks for letting me know. Okay, this wasn't the thing. There's more coming, right? And if you don't have that attitude, I mean, you just become a victim of circumstances, I feel like. So yeah, super important, man.
I agree. I agree with that too, because, and like, and I've said it a lot of times too, that you can't fail unless you quit. And I always had that mentality going into Vancouver that like, look, you can't fail unless you quit. I didn't even quit acting. Yeah. I shifted. Would I go back under the right circumstances? I think there's a lot of stuff that I don't agree with the industry that I, and that's more on a personal level, not so much on a professional level, that I don't think my values align with the industry anymore. And I think that that's okay. So I got what I needed to get out of it. But looking at life, like, you really can't fail unless you quit. It's learning. And it shifted me into something completely different. But I'm now doing this and it's still giving me that creative outlet. So if I didn't do acting, I don't know if I would have had the confidence to start a podcast, really, at the end of the day. So, like, I love that quote, because I think it actually really, it kind of resembles the way my life has become now because of that. So 100%. Yeah. And so I guess, like, now, I mean, obviously the whole theme of everything is, you know, online work and traveling, digital nomad, expat. When you decided to you know, travel, once the business started getting off the ground, like, where was the first place that you went? And what were some of the challenges you faced while you were traveling and obviously being an entrepreneur and running a business abroad?
Yeah. So the first time I got a taste of it was I was working full time in Sydney, Australia, but a buddy of mine was like, hey man, you should, you know, get into this online marketing stuff. And this was like in 2017, this was even 2016, but I didn't really, it wasn't until 2017. And it was a direct selling. It was like network marketing. It was the first time they were getting on to online space. And there was this ability to be able to automate the process of it, where people wouldn't do the, you don't have to do the sales calls. You don't have to do any of that. You just got to film these videos and create ads and all this stuff. Right. So I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. But certain people were having a lot of success at it and certain people weren't. Which is why I led to doing the podcast in the first place, to build the brand, because I was tired of not being able to write Facebook ads properly. And I was like, well, what if I showed up and did a podcast and built a brand? But then that ended up kind of fizzling out and I focused more on the podcast side of things. So once I came back to Canada in the beginning of 2018, I was obviously out of the bar industry and then started the podcast. But then I realized that, so I went back to Vancouver and I started the company. What was important to me was that I didn't want to work for somebody else, basically. So if I'm just trying to like remember why all this stuff, I was like, I don't want to work in the bars. I don't have a lot of skills. But I like podcasting and I see there's a need for it. So I started a podcast production company with this other guy. Had a bit of a fallout. And then we just sort of evolved and we started doing podcast launches for people. We started helping people with them, started, you know, managing their podcasts. And that was kind of how it started. And that was, that was kind of it. And I was doing that in Vancouver while running my podcast. And then COVID hit and I was like, okay, well, this is bullshit and I don't want to deal with what's going on. So I left and I just realized that this thing that I had created, people always ask me, like, oh, you don't have to be in one space. I'm like, no, I set it up for that reason. I don't want to be location dependent. Right. And so I travel and they're obviously having remote work brings its challenges that we can get into, but the freedom to be able to just plug in and not have to go to a location is so key. And so like, I knew that there was a demand in podcasting, like even during COVID, like there was people were dropping off and not not continuing their podcast because it was like people wanted to cut back on their expenses. But then also there was a big, it was a growing industry because people were staying home and listening to content and watching content. And so I knew that it was a good industry and it didn't really like a lot of people's stuff just sort of went out of bit. People went out of business all over the place, but not this industry. It just kind of grew. So yeah, that's kind of what we did. And I just recorded my show while we were away and I had my podcast and or my podcast company. And yeah, we just continue to do it and sort of evolve now into more of like a podcast booking agency where we focus more on that. But even that, like you don't need to be, the main point here is that I didn't want to have to be somewhere. And I think a lot of your listeners are probably in the same place, right? They're probably like, look, I'm tired of going to a boss. I'm tired of going to a desk. I'm tired of the, like you want to be able to travel, go to work, and have best of both worlds. And the beautiful thing is it's very possible now, right? And, but again, you know, realistically it can be challenging at times, but it's kind of like you got to pick your poison, right? What do you want to deal with more? You know, like, and
yeah. Well, there's a lot of challenges, obviously, where you travel to, right?
That's part of the dance too, though. That's part of the fun of it is like the adaptability, like the adversity, 100%. Because it shapes you. Like traveling is one of these things that has been so valuable to me as well. Cause it like, it shapes your character. It makes you become a more kind, compassionate person because you're going into someone else's country and learning and you got to adapt and you got to like figure things out. And there's something beautiful about that. And then you come back to your country and you're like, oh, I really like this. I really miss this aspect, or I really don't like this. And it just helps you become more aware, more well-rounded human. So yeah, man, there's so many valuable things to it.
And I think you said something there that I liked, because a lot of people travel and they try to take home and make their travel destination like home, and they complain. It's like, oh, you know, I don't like this here. It's like, oh, they should do it this way. It's like, no, like you don't try to change someone's life and the way that they're living. Like that's what they know. And like I when I was in the Dominican, like I would catch myself sometimes being so annoyed by the way that they drive, for example, or their street laws or the lack thereof. But at the end of the day, it's like, I can't come here to another country that I'm not a citizen of and be like, oh, you guys need to do it this way. And you guys, it's like, that's their way of living. You're not going to change it. So you might as well embrace it and just like, hey, you know what? This is the one thing that I maybe don't like. So what, you know, pick your poison. You know, there's probably things in Canada at the moment that I don't like. You could be in minus 40 weather in Manitoba or Edmonton, you know, in December, but you're not. You're on the beach in paradise, and it's a lot more of a slower lifestyle. You're not driving 3 hours to work. You can work wherever. So it really is pick your poison, and I like that because, you know, it's a gift to be able to travel to another country, and at the end of the day, we have a gift that we were born in a country that gives us opportunity. Whereas if you look at the local people, they would switch places with us in a heartbeat to be able to make the type of money or the run the businesses that we have the opportunity to do. So it's part of the gratitude as well.
Yeah, man. And there's something to be said about that challenge that a lot of people can't handle, especially there's a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business owners that need their cozy offices and their environment to thrive. And you take them out of that and put them into some of these conditions. To me, it's like, if you can be successful in doing your thing in different places and you can adapt, then to me, that's like, I respect that. Cause dude, I mean, sometimes it's tough. You're in a hot place. People are on vacation mode. I was in Tulum and I was like, man, I don't want to work today, but you gotta do your thing. You gotta be disciplined. You gotta set up your station. You gotta put that vacation mode aside and be disciplined. That's hard for some people. And I respect that. And I can see somebody that's traveling and they're crushing it. I feel like it's a different level of success because they don't have all their things. They don't have everything in the perfect place all the time. They're willing to pick up and move and, oh, if I can do it here, I can do it there. You know what I mean? I see it differently now. I see it like,
yeah.
I know what it was like to have a home studio and home office. It was so much easier because everything is set up. Everything is perfect. Nothing moves. But there's also something to be said about running a business where that is really valuable. But it's just as a traveler, these are the things that you have to think about to all your audience out there is like, you know, it's not always perfect conditions, but can you be disciplined enough to have a routine to do what you need to do and set yourself up to win? Because it's easy to become the person on vacation. Like a lot of the people, it's like, can you set up and do your work? And, you know, me and Dusty talk about this as well, right? You know, it's tough because sometimes the hours, the time of day, you got to stay up, you got to, right? So it's really about looking at, can you be disciplined? That's the part that is, can be tough. If you can be disciplined and you can adapt and you can set up shop and you can be like, I can do it here. I can just, that to me is it. And, but that will really help shape you as a human as well, right? The adaptability to any situation is everything. You know, there's some people that can't adapt. They crumble under any adversity, under any, oh, I don't have my thing. I don't have my, you know, whatever. Like I can't work. Like, it's like, well, no, that's the beauty of travel. Cause sometimes you don't have that stuff. And sometimes the power goes out and it's like, you know, like, it's
And in other countries it happens more frequent than not. And like, I mean, I was on an interviewing a candidate and boom, power goes out and didn't come on.
What did you do? Like, how did you process that? How did you process that?
Oh, you know what? Well, obviously I had my cell phone, so I still had like, but then, you know, there's challenge times where the internet goes out. So it's like, or like the cell tower goes out. So try to get a hold of them. Obviously, if there was a storm, you know, I would let everybody know ahead of time, hey, you know what? I'm in the Dominican right now. We're going through a storm. It's quite known that like if there's a storm, the power and the reception could completely cut out at any time. So if it does, I apologize, but I will 100% call you back when my power is restored. And so that's how I would kind of like, I learned a lesson the hard way by not when I first went through it and like, you know, sent an email as quick as I could and just explained and, you know, just be honest and say, hey, let's jump on another call. I definitely didn't hang up on you. So, you know, you just have to adapt and be honest and know that. And there's obviously a lot of stress with when that happens as well. But, you know, you make use of your time. And it's not even just when the power goes out. It's just when you're traveling. It's like if I have a flight booked and like a deal comes through and a placement comes through, like I would say, hey, Dustin, I'm going to like put an out of office, but I'm going to attach your name to it. So if anything comes through, they're going to reach out to you and you'll know what to do. So it's just like, you just have those people in your circle that will kind of look after you. Dusty works late nights. He might be waiting for an interview request. And all of a sudden, you know, and he might be in India, right? And it's 6 a.m. for him and it's time for bed because he's been working since midnight. Put the out of office request, put my name in it. If it comes out, I'll reach out to the candidate. I'll interview prep the candidate for you. And it's just That's like awesome. You have those kind of, you have people to help you take care. Cause like I want to see everybody succeed. I think everybody, especially my circle at work, with my job, I want to see everybody succeed because it's such a, it can be a cutthroat industry. And when you have an opportunity, you don't want to lose something because something happened. Right. So you just look out for each other.
What do you say makes a good recruiter from a shitty one?
Listening to the person right away. That's the most important thing. Listening to what they want. But I think listening to what the candidate wants, but also listening to what the job requirements are and don't try to put a square peg in a round hole. You know, like if the person's not a fit, don't try to make them a fit, because if the truth will come out and it might come out and it's like, then you're back to square one. So it's really listening. Like, and there's a lot of like fake bullshit out there too. Like a lot of fake resumes, a lot of fake LinkedIn profiles. And it's just like, you just got to learn how to like sift through that. I don't personally post any jobs because I think a good recruiter should be able to find the person. And I think the biggest thing too is just being honest, creating good outreaches with for people. But I think the biggest thing is just like really attention to detail, but most of all, listening to both sides, what's needed and what do they offer? And that is, and once you have those, then, you know, I think it makes things a lot easier. But being technically sound too, because like you got to find people, you got to go and find the person. So really, I think it's so many different things. Like some people are really good at client management, but they don't know how to find the clients. Whereas me, I'm a talent management manager. So I go looking for the person. I'm the headhunter. So I feel like I'm pretty good at LinkedIn and being able to narrow down what's exactly needed, and then just reading and looking for those keywords, but then asking the right questions and then listening to how they respond and making sure that, 'cause at the end of the day, I'm not a software engineer. I'm not, so I don't have that level of technical aptitude that they do, but I'm really good with, and I credit my acting ability to this aspect, because listening and reading somebody, are they bullshitting me or are they really truthful and honest? And I might repeat a question that might be similar and see how if they answer it the same way. And if they do, then great. If they answer something completely different, then I know that they're full of shit.
That's a good way.
Yeah. But it's a fun industry. I mean, I talk to people all the time, but man, like the elation of like calling somebody who's been stressed. I had a candidate a couple of years ago, who was really struggling, went through it was really hard to get a job in their space. And I called and gave them the news that they got the job, and the elation and the excitement. And there's no better feeling, because you literally are changing someone's life at that point. Now, some people get multiple offers, whatever, and it's just like, hey, I got a job offer. Great. I've got six of them. But for some people who have been just like going through hard times, and they're so skilled, they're so talented in their field, and you get them the job that's going to change their life. It's, it's such a good feeling. And that's what's kind of led me to wanting to coach and help people, because I think that it's such a gift to be able to give that to somebody and help them out. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that want to be digital nomads and they just don't know where to start. Maybe some guys work in construction, breaking his back for his, day in and day out. And he's just tired of that, like 6 a.m. morning, working till Friday. And it's just like, you get in working in that industry, it can be pretty dark. You get, you might go to the booze and the drugs on the weekends, and then you're back on Monday. It's like, well, let's help you find something else that gives you some more. So gives you some real substance, not fake substance. Let's give you purpose, So that's kind of the mission. And I think with the recruitment aspect of my skill set, I know I'm going to be able to help a lot of people and get that vision, because I mean, I did it, and we're all, you mentioned it earlier, we're all ordinary people. Yeah. Nobody's really special. Your experiences make you special, but at the end of the day, it's like, I'm an ordinary person. So is the guy doing construction, and they deserve that, whatever they desire. And if that's traveling the world, working online or working remotely, then you know what, they deserve it.
And that's the beautiful thing about coaching people as well, is that everybody has a story. And if you dig deep enough and you pull back the layers, you realize like the unique abilities of certain people. And you're like, holy shit, you didn't think that was a big deal? And they're like, yeah, I'm just really good at, fucking making spaceships that shoot to Mars. You're like, really? But you're doing this? You find there's these, that's the thing that's so fun to work with people, when you're like, discovering like what their unique ability is, what they love to do, and what lights them up. Because everybody's got something that they're not, if they're doing a job they hate, there's always something that they can feed towards. And it's like finding that out, and like you can see the excitement in them when they start to like find that. Mm-hmm. And That's what I love that, man. When somebody's like, they start to realize that there is an opportunity out, or they didn't see that. They didn't see that blind spot, you know? And I believe, like you said, we're all worthy, but we all also have, I see so many people that don't value their story. They don't value what they've been through. They think that mm-hmm. what they've been through doesn't matter. And then I'm like, you don't think that matters? Like, what? Like, that's crazy. Like, there's some crazy shit. And be like, well, I didn't think it was a big deal. I'm like, okay, hold on a second here. You know, so that's what's great, is like helping somebody realize that. And I can tell that you'd be really good at that too, right? Because there's so many things that you're talking to somebody that they don't really see it. And you're like, you just want to shake them. Be like, fuck, don't you see that? Like, you're so good at that. Like, yeah, if you just put exactly. a little bit it's of energy so into and, that yeah. bucket, and put a little bit into that bucket every day, you don't have to drop everything all overnight. If you want to, you can, but like, just feed that, whatever that thing is that excites you, feed it a little bit every day. Like, think about it, visualize about it. Like, what can you do? What is one thing today that you can do to like vote for that bucket? You know, like, what is one thing? And eventually, you know, like, you start to, it becomes more of your identity, becomes not so far away. It becomes part of you. And that's kind of like what has to happen, right? You got to start to feed that thing that excites you more mm-hmm. rather than, ah, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't make any money, or that's not in demand, and all the shit that we heard growing up. Like, you got to do something that's in demand, that pays well. It's like, yeah, but that thing will pay you well too if you're really good at it, if you go all in on it. But it's like, we're always told to do the safe thing. I know I was, do the safe thing, and I never did the safe thing. I always did the opposite of what everyone else was doing, because like, I don't like that, man. I'm like, no, I'm gonna do I think we are, as a society now, especially, you know, having these conversations and doing what you're doing and talking about this stuff, it's like giving people more permission to explore that, because now there's never been a greater time to be alive for this, to coach, to start a brand, to monetize your uniqueness into the world. Like, 'cause somebody needs what you got. It's just a matter of like figuring out what that is, right? And creating something yeah. around it. And you know, with AI and all everything nowadays too, like, there's so many tools that can help. So it's exciting. It's an exciting time. People like to go down doom and gloom, and you can choose that. And look, not everything's perfect, but man, there's also a ton of opportunity, a ton. And if you want to sit in that frequency, like, and really bask in it, like, a lot of good things can happen.
And it so true. And I actually touched base on this on a prior episode, that like, do you want to be on the lazy side, or do you want to be on the hustle side? I mean, I think with the generation out there now that's coming up, it's like, they have such an opportunity. And I think even to like, you look at even the older generation, like our generation too, we can still have that ability to take over. 'Cause I do feel like the generation coming up might be a little bit more yeah. on the lazy side, because no they're shit. So like, they know, all they know is what's in their phone, right? So if you want to hustle and grind and put in the work, then you'll be successful. And I think that, you know, it's so powerful to like know that you have that ability. And I mean, I actually just saw a tweet the other day from Alex Hormozi, and he said that if you're between the ages of 18 and 26, your work week should be 6 times 12. So 6 days a week, but 12 hours a day. And you will have success, because you will separate yourself from the competition so damn fast. And he's so right, because people are looking for substance. And I think the world is designed this way for us to be reliant on not assistance, but like, it's very clear what's happening and what's going on. And we're being conditioned to a certain way. But you also mentioned something else about everyone has the ability to do something. And I like that, because I was just taking like I just took a free seminar from Dean and Tony a couple weeks ago. And Teen was mentioning that The knowledge-based business is currently at $1 billion a day. And everybody has a story. I would rather learn, if I was going through something severe in my life, I would rather go to somebody who's gone through the same thing than going through somebody who has 100%. A degree in it. Because 100%. I don't necessarily know what, you know, what that person's degree, what their personal experience, what their personal attachment is to that. 100%. They don't know. And I think that's what's happening in the world. There's such a transformation in the knowledge-based industry. And Dean was saying that it is on pace by 2028 to go to $1 trillion a year, which is just shy of $3 billion
a
day.
That's wild, man.
And think about that for a second. Like, the opportunity that is in front of us right now is enormous. Yeah. And I think traditional education, I mean, I could get political, and I mean, traditional education goes one direction.
Factory
it's
workers.
It's not a center location on the political scale. It's one direction. And it is, and if you don't agree with it, then you are almost blacklisted coming out of university.
Yeah. University.
And it's like the tides are changing. And I think that right now, if you, whatever you believe in, it's like, focus on yourself. If you've gone through something if you've gone through any of adversity in something, like really niche thing, like maybe like my friend who I was mentioning before we jumped on our podcast, who's a mixed martial arts fighter, they wanted to amputate his arm after a car accident. If he had said yes to that, that would be his identity for the rest of his life. He said no. He came back. He rehabilitated his arm, and we'll go into that in another podcast episode because I'm going to have him on. But he rehabilitated his arm and came back and became a champion. He had that warrior's mentality, and it's like, that person, I would rather go to somebody like him to help me rehabilitate my injury and to have the mental strength to go through that than somebody who's got a degree who's been told what to learn.
Dude, 100%, man. Life experience is I value it a lot more. You know, and it's the simplest thing. Like, even when I was a bartender, okay, you had the people that went to bartending school, learned all the bartending things, right? It's like, okay, well, you know, your bartending school, you know how to use all the drinks, right? But you put them into a bar, they will get their ass kicked, and none of that shit matters. None of 100%. It matters. It's like, how can you do in the face of the shit? That's how you tell. And it's the person that I would rather learn from, somebody that has understood the actual, what it's like in the arena, in the ugliness, in the chaos that you can't teach, mm-hmm. rather than somebody that knows the theory. It's like, you want to talk to me about adversity? You want to talk to me about shit? Well, what have you gone through in your own life? Oh, not much. I read a lot of books on it. Well, then don't fucking talk to me about it until you've done it. You know, and 100%. there's a lot of people that coach and sell things that they haven't done. It's like, you know, and it's like, I really value somebody that has the life experience. Like, wow, you know, like you've been through it. You know, like you said, like, you want to learn from somebody like that, because that's real. It's not just like theory that you borrowed or regurgitating. It's like, you actually lived it. And this is what I did, and this may help you, you know? And it's so powerful. And I think that's kind of the way the world's going, man. I think
100%. I think we're in a complete change. I think with the technology that's out there now, I just think that there's so much going on. And I've got friends that are coaches in other aspects, like in real estate and like other type of like life coaches. Like, it's just like, there's that are successful because you want to learn from somebody who's gone through it. Like, literally been, and we'll go back to that term, adversity. You know, you've gone through it. Like, I'm not, if I was ever going through an addiction, I'm going to go talk to somebody who's recovered and gone through the journey, not somebody who's got a piece of paper that says, you know, like, I read a bunch of books on it. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. But, I mean, it's just, that's the way things go. And I think touching base back on that, like you've got an opportunity. It's just whatever you want to do. And I think the decision is yours to decide. Are you, I'll repeat it again, lazy side or hustle side? Pick your, you know, pick your path. And, you know, but I do want to just kind of shift and just maybe talk quickly about some travel stuff, because, you know, I know that you've traveled. I mean, I love this. I love what we've talked about. And I think like we could go and talk about this for hours. And I think that that is such a, it's a cool topic, and there's so many different things we can talk about, but for the sake of like the traveling aspect, how did you find the work-life balance when you first started traveling?
It's tough. It's tough because, like I said, you, the separation of work and pleasure sort of kind of get mixed in together at first, and you really have to, at least for me, I really had to be disciplined and set myself up to win. But at the end of the day, like work-life balance, it's kind of like I'm creating something where I don't need the escape. Like I enjoy what I do. So it's kind of like it's become my life. So it's like, you know, it's not like, I think a lot of people hate their work and then they need this balance of like work and life. But like for me, I enjoy it. Cause this is how I would talk. Like I would talk to you even if we, if it was like just real conversation and learning about people and helping people grow. And this is what I like to do regardless. If we're sitting in the sauna, if we're like talking about real shit, right? Like this is the stuff that I, so yeah, like I think it's important for people, depending on whatever they're doing, to be able to create whatever brings themselves peace, separate work if they need to. But I think it's important that if somebody's traveling, to really get their priorities straight, get themselves set up and organized so that they can win, so that you can, you know, making sure that you have your stuff scheduled and the basic stuff. The basics are very, very important in that aspect. So having a good workspace, you know, adjusting, finding what gets you into the flow. That for me was really important. It may seem very trivial, but man, when you start to travel around and you're mixing business and pleasure, it becomes, there becomes a, it sort of becomes like, am I even working? Like, what am I doing here? Like, what the fuck? So you got to be super disciplined. Mm-hmm. And I think that was tough at first, especially if you're traveling with people too. And they are doing other things. You have to realize, well, I'm doing this and I need to really focus on this and give myself this space to win. And if you can do that, then you will. But if you don't, well, then you're going to find it very challenging. And I think that's every time I show up in a new place, I'm like, okay, how am I going to set myself up here? Like, what's the setup here? What are we going to do? You know? And
I found, and it's so true. I found myself, it's routine. Like, I feel like it's your morning routine for me was the thing that kind of kept me in line. Like, I mean, I was being in the Dominican, I was working AST hour, or sorry, I was on the AST time zone. So 4 hour difference in the winter time, winter time from Vancouver. Springtime, it's 3 hours because Dominican time doesn't change. But I found myself still getting up at 6 a.m. I would get my workout in. I would do all the things that I needed to do to show up for myself personally. And that was still like, I'm going to get my beach in. I'm going to go for my walk, get my sunlight, get just ground myself, but appreciate the number one reason why I'm here is because of the beach and the sun and the water. And that was, I would take that in before I even like opened my email. I wouldn't look at any emails until then. And I would start work like probably around like 11, between 11 and 1 for depending on like what was going on. And for me, and I would work till like about 8 o'clock. But as long as I had that in the morning, it was just like, that was my routine. And yes, some days if I knew that there was an event coming up that I wanted to go to something or go check out like a different part of the island on a day and some friends were going to this, I would shift my schedule and maybe like work longer other days. But yeah, for me, it was just like that consistent routine first thing in the morning, just to make sure that like I've done everything that I can for myself mentally and spiritually and physically to give myself and become the best version of myself when I hit my desk. And it's like, hey, this is now it's Recruiter Jared and I'm dialed in, I'm locked in. And that's kind of what helped me kind of get through that. And I think at first it was hard, like you'd mentioned, because, you know, it's new, you know, it's January and you finally get to the hot destination. It's not winter in Canada anymore. And, you know, there's an energy, but it's when you get to week three, when you start living, like when the novelty wears off is when you have to really like hunker down and be like, okay, like now it's reality. Yeah. And you try to get to that as quick as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great, yeah. Like you said, man, you show up for yourself. Universe throws up for you. You're a reflection. Everything just reflects back to where you're at. And if you do that, that's the kind of energy you're giving out to the world. Those are the kind of, that's getting going out to your clients. Everything that you're doing in the morning is setting yourself up for what you're putting out there. So actually it makes a big difference, right? And people that don't believe in that theory just don't have the self-awareness to see that the difference. And I don't think they've given themselves the opportunity to see the difference between that. Like there is a difference and there's a well-being that for me is a priority that shows up with the people I talk to. It shows up and everything is easier when I've showed up for myself first. What you said there, it's like so important. The world, it's like when you show up and do the thing, even if it's the hard thing first, that's what creates flow state. Flow state doesn't come from just getting up and just, I want it to be flowy. It's like, no, you got to intentionally do things that set you up. And then the rest of the day, the byproduct is flow because you're dialed into yourself, right? But if you don't do that, at least for me, if I don't have that and I'm like, the whole day is chaos. It just doesn't work for me, man. It's got to be connection, whether it's workout, whether it's sauna, cold shower, whatever, meditate. I do a lot of meditation and breath work, tons. And that is just, that's the energy that I know is important to me. And same with like, you know, nature, right? You know it. And I think once you start to feel that every day, you're like, well, that's what I want. And that's what I expect. And that's my standards, right? And that's part of the part of figuring it out too, is what's right for you. What's right for you isn't necessarily what's going to be right for everybody. And that's the whole part of being human. It's like figuring that out for yourself, right?
Yeah. It's so true. And I think this last 10 days have been a perfect example of that. Like, cause we've been on a cross country road trip through Canada, and to Vancouver, from Manitoba to Vancouver and back. And now we're currently in Calgary, but my routine's been all over the place and I feel it. I feel it. And it's been an adjustment, but now, and that's the one thing. It's like, I think when, as a digital nomad and you know, I'm only here for a short time. I know that, but it's when we travel, I don't want to do the travel where I'm traveling like once every a week to 2 weeks. It's like, I need to be settled for like a couple, a month to 2 months to 3 months minimum. So I can establish that routine and be able to, like I said, show up for myself, because once I get out of that travel, it takes a little bit to get yourself set up. And kudos to the people who can travel week to week to different places. I can't do that. My life's seriously too chaotic.
Kudos to those people. Cause if you can kick ass and be like that and just fucking adapt without having that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like it's so hard to do.
It's so hard. And I've seen people being able to do it, and I'm just like, man, like how have you, and you know what it is? The people who have figured out how to do it are the people that have been doing it for so long. And they've been doing they've been nomads, they've been travelers, they've been expats for so long that they just like, you know, it's just routine for them. But for me, no, it's a challenging piece. And I think that for people that are listening, it's like my advice to people that want to become a digital nomad or an expat is settle down in one spot, get a home base and get your routine. And then you can travel to and from your home base. But you start going from country to country, you're dealing with visa issues. It's going to get messy and you might miss out on opportunities, but hey, you know what? Like it's what you
do. And also I think like you don't get to really feel what it's like to really enjoy a place for at least a month, you know, like,
yeah,
2 weeks minimum, like minimum, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's the beauty. And I think this digital nomad space and expat is going to evolve and it's going to, you know, it's going to be a very common thing and it's great. And it's great that we can even imagine just being able to have a video chat like this, like 20 years ago, we couldn't even do this kind of, you know, I mean? Like, it's just the things,
I know,
like how far we've come.
I know.
Like it's,
yeah, it's wild what we've been able to come and be able to achieve. And, you know, when you're traveling and you're so close to family, people are like, oh, I don't want to leave my family. It's like, man, like a video chat is like, it's like you're yeah, there. It's still good. Like you still have that connection. And, you know, and I, one of the things my mom was saying when I was telling her that we're going to go to Asia next year, she's like, well, you know, like you guys are, we're going to be gone for like 6 months, maybe eight. And she's like, oh, it's gonna be so hard to not see you. It's like, mom, I've been living in Vancouver for the last 7 years and you maybe came out once a year. It's not changing anything.
I said the same thing to my mom.
We would talk. We still talk every day.
I said the exact same thing.
You know, so it's like, so it's, you know, technology's come a long way and, you know, but I wanted to, obviously, I think you've been in the game for a while. And I think that you've got you'll have a lot of advice, but like, if you could give yourself advice to the, you know, the traveler, yourself, when you're beginning your journey as a nomad, digital nomad, expat, what's the one piece of advice that you think would have altered and maybe made things easier for you?
That's a good question. Yeah, I would say focus on routine and stay organized. You know, organization is huge. And I haven't been, up until this point, the most organized person in the world, I'll admit it. And it's gotten me into some trouble just because of certain things, you know, whatever. You know, there's so many things going on. But I've become a lot better now. But back then, yeah, I would just say, like, take the time to learn things that'll keep you organized. You know, don't take shortcuts. Mm-hmm. Like, understand that the boring things that you may not want to pay attention to are really going to help you. You know, scheduling apps, Google Drive, like all the simple things. Just making sure that you're set up to win, you know, have the tools and don't go cheap on things like laptop. If you're going to be on there all the time, make sure you got one that's working properly. Like, invest in something. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be the most expensive thing in the world, but if you're going to be on it all the time and that's going to be the thing that you're depending on, put some money into making sure that it's dialed in. Make sure that it's good. You know, I made the mistake of buying a used one a few years back and I still need to replace my laptop. It's like one of these things. I'm like, why not just buy one that's going to be dependable from the beginning? But these are the lessons we learn, right? And that's what I would tell myself.
Yeah,
like,
of
just
course.
The simplest stuff, just to save some stress.
Yeah.
Save some stress, get set up, keep things simple, organized. Get your tech dialed in if you're going to use your computer every day and you'll be good, you know? So that's what I would say.
Absolutely. Perfect. And I agree with that too, because like you are using it all the time and if you're traveling to hot destinations, you need something that's going to deal with the humidity as well, because we've run into issues even with our cell phones that like, hey, it's like hot and it's humid. Phone hasn't hit any water, but there's water damage on our, it's still telling us that there's, you know, we need to dry out our ports and stuff like that. So you want really good equipment for that kind of stuff. And I totally agree with you. But one last question for you is, and I ask everybody this, what is your number one travel hack? Like if it's like a booking site, something that you do that's just like makes life easier for you for traveling. Maybe it's, you know, packing a certain thing.
Oh man, this is a tough one. No, if you don't have one, that's totally fine. To think about this. What is one thing that I do? Okay, the one thing that's coming to me that I used to do a lot as a podcaster when I didn't have a light. Okay, I didn't have a ring light and I traveled everywhere without it. First thing I would always do is I would go in front of a window. I would make sure my work environment. That's the first thing. I was like, what can I film here? How can I film from here?
Yeah.
So if I don't have a ring light, I don't have the perfect location, I get in front of a window. I don't care what I do. I move a table. I'll do all the things, try and get a background. Okay. But I need that light. And if you're a recruiter or you're somebody that needs to be on video, it's important. Make sure you have the light. The front, your light is the more important than your background. You want to have a decent background, but that's kind of like, for me, it's like,
100%.
And when I'm picking an Airbnb, where I'm picking a spot, I'm like, do I want to be there? Will I want to work there more than I want to be out? If I have to pay a little more, it's okay. Because I know those times where I've tried to save money and I'm like, go somewhere that you will actually want to sit and be at. And if you have the chance to look into that, but that's what I do. When I get to a place, I'm like, I got to set up what's going to be the best place, unpack everything right away, get all that stuff put away, get set up for work, get it done as soon as you can. And then, you know, hit the grocery store. That's what I would do. Those things. And then when you come home and your clothes are all put away, your office is set up, you're like, okay, now I can relax. And for me, I don't like starting a week or starting in a new place where I'm like, shit's in the bag. And I don't like that. I like to just get that stuff done immediately, hit the grocery store. And that's kind of my hack. If that's a hack, I don't know. That's just what I do.
It is a hack. For sure it is. Because I think that's definitely, like I've done things a little differently. And because that first initial, you know, check-in is like chaotic. You just want to get out there and like see everything, but it's like, no, it's so good to just like put your stuff away and get set up and make it feel like home. Cause it is home, right? Cause at the end of the day, like we don't have home is where you make it. So it's like, this is home for the foreseeable future. But, no, man, I'm so happy that you came on today. I'd love to actually, I think there's so much more to uncover in our conversation. I feel like we could have done a 3-hour episode. I feel like there's so much more things that I could learn, that we can learn about you and your journey and your destination that you're heading. And I think that, you know, so I can't thank you enough for coming on today. But like, how can our audience connect with you? What's the best way that we can connect with you?
I appreciate you having me on, bro. This is great. We could talk for hours. I would just go to my Instagram. My Instagram has, follow me there, you know, follow each other. We're both, you know, you can access the book, the podcast, all the stuff that I do. And, it's all there.
Yeah. And I think, and I'll post all the links in the description for everybody to go and give Lance a follow. There's also something, if you are a big Grant Cardone fan, he's got a YouTube link in his bio of his interview that he did with Grant Cardone. Definitely check that out. Grant is somebody that I really look up to. So I'm like, it's like the fanboy in me that you got a chance to, you know, have a conversation with him. I think that's super interesting. But I also wanted to do something with your book. So everybody out there, I want to give one of our audience members a copy of your book, and I want to do it as a little promo. And obviously like we're not doing this live or anything like that. So what I'm going to do is if you follow Lance and I on Instagram, so Lance ECOs and The Next Day Nomad, I want you to call, I'm going to do a post promoting this episode. So you'll have to go back because you'll probably already have seen that the post is already out there prior to the podcast episode being launched. And I want you to comment hashtag adversity. And then I want you to share it and like it. So share it on your story. If you do all those things, I'm going to take a lucky person and give them a book. Maybe I'll do two, who knows. But I think that if you are really wanting a way to kind of get through adversity, definitely read the book, reach out to Lance, listen to his podcast, connect with him on social media. And yeah, thanks for coming on, Lance. I really appreciate
thanks, brother.
It.
Appreciate
I'm going to finish off. I always finish off with the same quote at the start. So be brave enough to live the life of your dreams according to your vision and purpose instead of the expectations and opinions of others. Because guess what? Opinions are like assholes and everyone has one. So don't let the opinions bother you. Continue on your journey. Go for success. Set your goals above anything that you can ever imagine, and you will find success in life. So thanks for everybody for coming on, for listening to the podcast. If you like this podcast, please share it with some friends, family members who you think could benefit from this. Take a picture of yourself listening to it. Tag me on it on social media at The Next Day Nomad. Send me a DM. Ask for help. All right. Cheers, everybody. Love you. Take care. I'll see you next week.